fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. The opinions expressed in the following program are 100% correct and have zero chance of changing. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning, 531. It's Brady and Walker on your Thursday. Lots more to get to today. I'm Andrew Walker. He is Greg Brady. Blue Jays just get snot bubbled in Baltimore. It's a good thing this series didn't really... it might have meant something at the start of it.
But sure,
we can all snuff out the candle now on the Blue Jays playoff hopes. They're six games back of Oakland and the Kansas City Royals as Oakland continues to come back to the pack. Seattle lost as well last night. The Jays go 11-0. They still have a less than 50% chance of getting in. That's how the math now works.
Been a bunch of seasons since 93 where they've won in the mid-80s. They're probably still going to win close to 84, 85, 86 games. 86 might be high, but there's not going to be a season we look at, I don't think, in the annals of history and say... It felt worse. Like when you go 86 and 76 and the Yankees are 106 and 56, what do you do? I mean, you just go, we're not good enough. And they outspend us by triplicate. But
yeah. Baltimore's kind of making you feel like that in the sense that Baltimore might win 100 games, right? The Jays were never going to win 100 games this season. Baltimore took off. But yeah, was the wild card attainable this year? The second wild card spot, if you had played a little better? Sure it was. Absolutely
yeah.
It was.
Yeah, it seems that way, and you can still end up with a wild card winner around 88. Kansas City and Oakland are tied for it right now. They got 11 games left. Could they each go 5-6? Maybe. They don't play each other at all. So then 88 and 74 gets you in, and you'd fall just short. The Jays, really, all they can do now is wreck it for Seattle next week, but that's very little consolation, and I'm sure the butts in the seats and the people dressed as blue seats will tell you it's very little consolation for Blue Jays fans.
Yeah.
You're already thinking about next year. Who's back? How do you tweak? Is the manager back? What do you do? Are all the vets happy? Can you keep all the vets? Can you keep all the vets happy in the offseason by adding more?
You ask the question. Yeah, you can rule it for Seattle, and nobody likes to hear the spoiler mentality.
Nope.
You're dead tied with the Yankees. And years from now, yeah, you're right. We're not going to think, well, hey, at least we finished second that year. In the moment, it would be nice to finish ahead of the Yankees because everyone feels the organization is ahead of where the Yankees are, minus the fact that they can turn around and sign anybody they want.
Maybe a little. Yeah, it'd be terrible to finish behind Tampa. and I don't think that's going to happen, but the Rays lost last night, but they're only four games up. That's probably not going to transpire. They'll go... head to head with the Yankees starting tonight. Ari Dickey pitching in the Bronx tonight for the first of four against New York. But it's not going to have a bearing on. And Cleveland's already leaped back over Toronto and the Yankees. Still a faint hope, but Cleveland needs everything to break their way. Everything to break their way to catch. They got to catch two teams out of the three.
We can discuss throughout the show this morning what is left to be determined over the last 11 days, if anything. It was interesting. So they're dead tied with the Yankees. Yankees finally win last night over Tampa. Derek Jeter breaks out of an 0-for-28 with a base hit up the middle, scores the game-winning run for New York. Jay's last look at Derek Jeter, this four-game set at Yankee Stadium. Jeter can still play. It looks like he can still play, but I think this 0-for-28 here is kind of indicative of, you know what, maybe it's he can't defend anymore. Maybe it is about time. Maybe Jeter knows something that maybe some people don't.
Well, he got ripped up by John Heyman on CBS Sports yesterday. Joe Girardi got ripped up by John Heyman for basically making this. He said in spring training in Tampa, this is not going to be the Derek Jeter farewell retirement tour. And Heyman's argument is for the last month or so when the games have mattered, it kind of has been. He's gone out there every game. He's batted second every game. He's not productive, has no power left, in terms of driving the ball. Very few doubles this year, just the three home runs. And the argument is, what do you do with a legend when it's too much for Cal Ripken's, Ken Griffey's? We saw Frank Thomas's career basically end here in Toronto. It was kind of ugly. Like, what do you do with a Derek Jeter? Do you you know, benching him didn't seem to be an option for Joe Girardi, but maybe it should have been.
Well, and that's why, yes, he has no power anymore, for sure. And he can't really defend anymore. But you look on that team, I thought it wasn't terrible other than this over 28, the way he was going out, because he hit around 280 all season. And no, that's not 320, what we're accustomed to seeing from Derek Jeter, but he can still play, right? If he was 26 years old, you'd think he was a decent player in your lineup.
You would. There haven't been many other options for the Yankees. They DFA'd Alfonso Soriano. They brought in Steven Drew after he joined Boston late, and he was awful.
That didn't work. So, Kelly Johnson's now playing for the for the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, and he was doing the same things in New York. He was here a couple home runs occasionally, but basically hitting 220 and not walking very much. So, look, the ads of Hedley and Prado kept him in.
Prado's now out for the
Who's
year,
out? Yeah, but you can't predict an emergency appendectomy.
And Hedley's too busy getting his Hall of Fame jacket suited up.
I still...
Best player ever.
All right, Danny Valencia here, Chase Hedley there.
Yes,
same exactly. Person, except
you.
A lot younger.
Yeah,
I'll agree with that.
5:37, it's Brady and Walker. NHL two-a-days continue today. We are taking a look at the Calgary Flames and the Carolina Hurricanes at 7:30 and 8:30. Another potential Stanley Cup final matchup.
I think
and
so.
An interview you don't want to miss. It is Dan Bylsma, former Pittsburgh Penguins head coach. He hasn't really spoken. He will talk to us.
Everything you're talking about, they're talking about. Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Got Rodney, and here's a ball that's blasted into left center field. Kiss it goodbye, out of here. A majestic home run by C.J. Krohn.
5:44, Brady and Walker. Yeah, the Anaheim Angels, the latest. You're going to hear one of these pretty much every day for the next week. The Angels, the latest to clinch a division. They win the AL West last night at one point. Things looked pretty tenuous. Oakland was the best team in baseball, seemingly. Seattle was charging hard. And the Angels lost both Tyler Skaggs and Garrett Richards for the season. But they've rebounded. They have 95 wins. Now they are talked about as the best team in baseball.
Yeah, just wacky. 5-5 gets you to 100 wins, and they haven't done that in a long, long time. Of course, they made and won the 0-2 World Series, but it's been a long time since they've been a playoff. This is what they planned, really, right? When they signed Josh Hamilton, they signed Albert Pujols the year before that, and obviously they get this amazing rookie in Mike Trout, and they go make their pitching a little bit deeper. This is what they planned, and they haven't been part of it the last 2 years. Mike Scioscia. A lot of people said, is he going to survive this? He had two bad years. They were firing hitting coaches, and GMs were on the chopping block, and they're finally there and home and cooled. Now, I think the stat I saw the other day was June 5th, six division leaders, and none of the six were still in the division lead. And I think that was when Kansas City was ahead of Detroit, but on June 6th, you had Toronto in first, Detroit in first, Oakland in first.
Milwaukee
in first, Atlanta in first, and I think the L.A. Dodgers held theirs, but they had some back and forth with San Francisco. L.A. lost last night. San Fran won. That's down to two games, so the Dodgers' magic number is still 9. So you might have three races. Three teams have clinched their division, and obviously the AL Central and the NL Central and West are still very much up in the air, and the wild cards look like wild card looks like we kind of know who the teams would be if those teams actually don't win their division. San Fran and Pittsburgh and KC and Oakland.
Yeah, and the Toronto Blue Jays are going to have a big say whether Seattle gets into that conversation. I mean, Seattle goes out this offseason and signs Robinson Cano. He's been worth every penny, but the offense there has been inconsistent, very inconsistent, if not below average. But you know Seattle with those two top-end starters, they get in. Right. I don't know if this is a wasted year because it's a pretty good team there.
Yeah.
Is it a disappointment? Obviously, it's a disappointment.
No,
is it a failure if Seattle misses out on that wild card?
I think it's a big step forward because I don't think they were ever safe. And there wasn't even the stretch of games in June or July I'm sure they've raised their fans' expectations that they were going to be in the race. They're a little like that Milwaukee team when Milwaukee went out and got Sabathia in 08 and were able to hold on and get into the wild card. And I think Philly dummied them. Philly was awesome back then.
Isn't that a classic case, though, of which binoculars you look through? So the Mariners and the Blue Jays could easily end this season pretty even, within a game or two, and both could be on the outside looking in. But because the Mariners have been a gradual build, people in Seattle aren't killing that team right now.
No.
Right? The Blue Jays had no expectations. But what if early in the season, I don't know, say Toronto, rather than sweeping at Comerica, they win 2 of 3. And rather than going into Fenway and sweeping, they just win that series and win 2 of 3. But obviously they got out in front with that 6-game lead. Now, the Blue Jays looked at as this disaster, and Seattle is this Johnny Tryhard great story.
It's very fair, and that's the problem. In May, I think even we were saying, this is pretty amazing. None of us were quite sure this team was that good, and the rest of the division is bad, and there's all these other factors. But listen, Andrew, flip May and August. Let's say August is May, and May is August for the Blue Jays, and they're lousy in May, and people want John Gibbons' head on a platter with an apple in it.
And they might have had it.
But in August, they go 21-9 or 21-7, and they get right into the hunt in September, and these games still play out the way they played out. Yeah. Maybe the perspective is a little different. It's funny you mentioned Seattle because, I look at them, and they don't spend what Toronto spends, and they've obviously got the two unbelievable starters.
They did just give $300 million to Robinson Cano.
They don't have another big budget body in the lineup except for King Felix. And I don't like their lineup better than Toronto's. They haven't hit most of this season. They're a very poor hitting team. You can like Kyle Seager. He had a bit of a breakout year.
Great player.
Dustin Ackley's all right.
Josh Donaldson kind of in Oakland.
But Dustin Ackley had the kind of year that Colby Rasmus had last year. So it's not blowing your socks off.
I took a bunch of heat on Twitter. So the Jays went in. That was a big series. One that it was the one that started their August swoon.
It did, yeah.
They go into Seattle and they get swept. And I commented during game one. I said, hey, you can love Felix. You can love Cano, worth every penny. You can love Iwakuma as well. This Mariners team can't hit. And then they swept the Jays and people, you're an idiot. So what do you mean Seattle can't hit? Well, they can't hit. I'll take the 120-game sample size over this three. And it's true. It'll be their undoing if they miss out.
Yep, and they've added Logan Morrison. He hasn't added much. Kendrys Morales hasn't added much. They've tried. They probably don't deserve to get there, all told, because they're kind of doing it on two or three really good starting pitching performances all season long.
5:49, Brady and Walker. We'll get to now and then in a second. We will get into Leafs camp. And Dave Feschuk, talk about eating their own. The vultures are already out surrounding a Phil Kessel and his alleged hatred of the coaching staff. We will tell you what we're talking about coming up. Here is Ryan Favreau. Look at today in history.
Now and then, a hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history. I'll be back in
time. Yeah. When we had Steve Spott on a month ago, we should have asked him more about what his breakout strategy plans were for Phil Kessel. Apparently they're going to be highly publicized by about 9 or 10 a.m. this morning.
I'm glad I'm not at the ACC today. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll go down.
Well, it's fitness training. You and I don't want any part of that. The wind sprints, the calipers, I don't want any part of it this morning. Fabro, fitness test this morning?
No, God, no. I'm so out of shape. I pulled both my calf muscles, I think, walking fast. Like, I haven't gone to the gym. Both my legs sore. I'm like, I haven't done anything.
I think it is reasonable. You know, when you're in college or whatever, and you're going on a date, maybe do some push-ups really quick. I wonder if Phil Kessel does that this morning. Phil just drop to the ground and do 20? Just to, you know, just as a good vibe thing before getting his fitness test done?
Do people actually do push-ups before dates?
I think that's reasonable.
I don't understand.
You don't?
I would like to go through this year. 82 games without anybody mentioning Phil Kessel's fitness. I'd love that to happen.
Whatever. I'm over the idea. I actually think he's better defensively than he's ever been.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, you trust him out there in an empty net scenario to hustle to a puck or force an ice or, can't negate an icing, something like that. You do.
His fitness doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Score 40 goals.
Cheeks or whatever.
Would have been nice. A couple more of those goals in the last, three weeks of the season. But anyway, September 18th. Stuff that happened on this date. 1759, one of my favorite years. The British capture Quebec City.
Oh, like kept it.
Yeah, like Quebec City. haven't been in a while.
It is nice. I like it better than Montreal.
Yeah.
I do.
I think there's an argument to be made. I haven't been since I had like a grade 5 field trip, so I don't
remember. Gotta go when you can drink. That'll right. help you. You probably weren't drinking at age 11.
Well, you don't know.
I don't know that. Can't prove it.
1837. on this date. Tiffany & Company opens up in New York City. Been screwing guys over for 175 years.
Yeah.
They gotta learn it.
Cut, clarity, got to learn all that stuff.
Mortgaging the horses back in the day for new earrings.
You haven't been married as long as I have. Do you ever buy? I never buy any random jewelry. Is that a thing some men do? Like, they know their wife wants to. After you get married, are you buying your wife jewelry?
Well, I would if I had money.
But maybe you can
sorry, here's a DVD copy of...
You can get the fake stuff.
Billy Madison.
Here's Gravity.
I've always thought it was so selfish. It's like, do you want this, this necklace? Or do you want to go, I don't know, on a trip around the globe?
Yeah. Actually, that's what my wife and I mostly... we don't do too much for presents, but yeah, save money for trips.
Would you like this pendant?
Yeah, but...
Or do you want our kids to go to college?
But Favreau's more like, do you want this necklace or do you want the Blu-ray of Django Unchained? Great romantic comedy.
Good movie. All right, what else happened? 1984.
Holy Moses, yeah, let's move it up. Our older demo is just dying here.
Tim Ray.
All our 158-year-old listeners go, I remember that.
Hey, that.
Roundtable coming up next.
They're the ones who are up now.
That's true.
Tim Raines.
Living dead.
The first player to have three straight 70 steal seasons. I miss the 80s. Yeah, everybody's stealing bags. Now
everybody.
Yeah, you grew up with Tim Raines, Vince Coleman, obviously Ricky.
Yeah.
Lost art.
Yeah. What is the top guy steal nowadays? Like 50, maybe.
Well, Billy Hamilton is going to crack 50, I believe. Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's still hitting like 220.
What's been the difference? Because even last night, right, you look at Anthony Ghost. The guy can fly. Thrown out. Like, the guys didn't get thrown out back in the day.
Jose Altuve's got 53 steals. Like, that's a pretty complete season.
He's had an unbelievable season, yeah.
Ellsbury's had 39, even though he's missed some games. Still does it.
Catchers are on steroids.
That might be him. Deonner Navarro's not on human growth hormone, I gotta tell you.
He's 3 for 3, though.
I really have to.
He's a better
I don't mean for steals.
He's a better
base
stealer than he is throwing guys out.
Maybe so.
It's true. And the number one movie 25 years ago today, 1988, A Fish Called Wanda.
To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
That's Jamie Lee Curtis, of course.
I love horses.
Yeah, she does. She does look like a horse.
I don't know.
Can I just say Kevin Kline made a lot of excellent comedies in a row, didn't he?
Yeah.
Some very good movies Kevin Kline was in. Very funny man.
The Big Chill? I don't know.
Well, that Big Chill's not a comedy.
I'd say very funny.
But that was a good movie. It was part of his run.
He was good in Dave.
He's the president.
Was Dave good? Dave looked terrible.
Dave's
I never
good.
Read
Dave
it.
Is good.
All right. I'll go to Blockbuster today.
Wait. This doesn't feel like that Kevin Kline works in it works much anymore.
Something
he's married to Phoebe Cates. Maybe I wouldn't work.
Something to talk about. Kevin Kline's married to Phoebe Cates?
Oh, my heavens, yes. They've been married for 20 years.
I know that. I became a man to that scene at Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Great.
Coming out of the pool, you tell him.
You're ripping me for taking baths.
All right, quickly, birthdays. Yeah. Daryl Sittler, happy birthday to you. Greg, how old?
Oh, it's 63.
It's close.
Daryl Sittler is 64.
He is 64.
I love hockey. I know hockey.
Lance Armstrong is 45.
Lance Armstrong.
And Ronaldo, the fat one from Brazil, 38 today. And the number one song, 1991, Color Me Bad with I Adore Me More.
Jiminy Christmas.
I don't make it up. It was the number one hit. And I had it on CD when I was
God,
11.
I feel like they were on Arsenio every week.
Let's talk some Blue Jays.
All right, 5:55, we're coming back.
Can't do it much longer.
Marcus Stroman suspended. Brady's up in arms. At Stroman.
He got off easy.
He'll tell you why. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Prices like no other. From a club like no other. The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Make it four straight losses for the Blue Jays.
Strike two pitch, swing and a miss, strike three. The game is over. Baltimore sweeps the series. They win this one 6-1.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
6:02, good morning. It is Brady and Walker on your Thursday. NFL Thursday Nighters on Sportsnet tonight. It's Atlanta and Tampa, the Bucs. Kind of a sexy pick this year, adding Josh McCown looking to avoid going 0-3.
Gotten less sexy, though, haven't they?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Right? It's like that Seinfeld girl when the light just turns the wrong way and it's not that's not the same woman.
There's a good naked, there's a bad naked.
More important probably, but almost more important for Atlanta, isn't it? Atlanta's at home. They've got to, you know, get their second win, catch up with where Carolina is.
Sure.
I think it's bigger for the
Carolina's Falcons. Still the favorite there. New Orleans is 0-2 in trouble as well. I'm Andrew Walker. He's Greg Brady. Jays get swept in a horrible, horrible series in Baltimore. They get their lunch handed to them. I actually thought, I mean, because the Orioles clinched the AL East last night. And you think, two nights ago, maybe everybody goes out, everybody parties. It's a ragtag lineup. Didn't appear to be that way. Bud Norris threw pretty well. And then Steve Pearce, who would have thought? What a series he's had. What a season he's had. He's been better than Chris Davis.
He's been very good. Three major injuries to this team, obviously, with Matt Wieters being out and at times Nick Markakis. Markakis got last night off, so maybe he's the hungover one. Shouldn't allege that, I suppose. And obviously the absence of now Chris Davis with the suspension. And Machado with the injury. So they're really missing. They missed four regulars from the lineup last night. And there's Delmon Young. You almost forget he's even there. You know, the ALCS MVP from a couple of years ago. He's just gone from team to team to team. Gets in trouble, leaves. And there he is with a single last night.
Let me ask you a question, because people were in and out of this team all year. When it comes to the Blue Jays, and, you know, they would lose back-to-back games in July, and idiots would say it's over. When was the moment, or maybe there was a couple, when was the moment that you kind of, you know, rubbed your hands and packed it in and said, that'll do it?
I got two moments. One was headed to the All-Star break and just getting there with no gas left in the tank, and I was worried it was over then.
But they came out of the All-Star break and played really well.
Bingo. They won me back. Remember, they lost the first game at home on the All-Star break to Yu Darvish on the Friday night. That's great, great luck. Oh, great. We get Yu Darvish on the Friday out of the All-Star break. And at that point, I think they'd fallen four games out in the division. They were still kind of hanging in the wild card. I feel like they were only a half game out. But then they started to really roll. They won the other two games against Texas. They won the 3-4 against Boston. They went to Yankee Stadium, right, and won 2-3 that big Sunday when we talked about that on the Monday. Then they go to Fenway and sweep. But the real moment...
That was actually probably the high point. Well, when they swept in Fenway.
The low moment was when they started to lose to the Astros.
Yeah.
And then they lost the home series to Baltimore. I mean, we can keep going through the games. There's just series you're just going to accept. Like when they went to Seattle and they lost 2-3. They got swept by Seattle. We weren't as worried that it was how they lost, this, like getting outscored 19-4. It was just an L. And you can't afford three L's. But it's probably... 2 weeks ago on the Saturday night, not following up the terrible Friday night loss to the Red Sox. They turn around and win that game, and it's Clay Buchholz against Jay Happ. And Happ's been almost their most consistent pitcher, almost for the last 5 or 6 weeks. They win that Saturday game, turn around, and they had R.A. Dickey going against Ruby De La Rosa Sunday, which they did win. They went to they got the Cubs coming in, and they swept them. That might have turned the tide. But now it's gone, obviously, in reverse in the other direction. It still may not have made the difference, but I was worried going into the All-Star break. Maybe I didn't emphasize enough how worried I was about where they were.
But that wasn't the moment where you're like, oh, well, this is over. That's not that it's over, moment. But you can be concerned. Sure, you can be concerned after game one of the season.
But, Andrew, I think it was that moment. You're right, but I think it's that moment where you go, if I put money on the Jays to make the playoffs and somebody offered it back to me, I might accept it.
Right.
I just didn't have a lot of confidence. And from the All-Star break on, as much as they won right out of the break, they're still a 45-53 team after the break. They're about where the Boston Red Sox are. Everybody's better. And the Twins have played better baseball since the All-Star break than the Blue Jays have.
I would go back to, and again, it's a conversation of where you think you're a little concerned at what you've seen. And then the second area of like, it's over. And mathematically, it's too stacked against them. I hated that Houston series because that was a time where they were playing really well and they were making a serious run and serious inroads. And they go to Houston. They win the opener. Nolan Reimold goes deep twice. And then they drop the next three against a hardworking, gritty Astros team. That's no good, right? For a reason. That really hurt.
Put it this way. You take 3-4 against the Astros instead of getting 3-4 taken, and we trumped up that start at Baltimore coming here for three games. you'd have been two games back instead of four games back. They were four games back when Baltimore came here.
It was supposed to be a series for first place.
Yeah. And Baltimore won two of three, made it a five-game lead. And from then, the horse is gone.
No,
he's gone.
Totally
he's not
agree.
Coming back.
And that's where it came to the division. I will tell you this, though, because they did suck everybody back in when it came to the wild card. They were playing so well. They had won five in a row, and then that series in Boston, whatever it was, two, three Fridays ago. When they get to extra innings and John Mayberry Jr. scores on that, you know, delayed sack fly where Red Sox outfielder, former Cardinal, sorry.
You forgot how many outs there were, Alan Craig, right?
Yeah, Alan Craig. And they get a two-run lead, in comes Casey Jansen. At that moment, I thought they were making the playoffs, right? This is one of those character wins where everything seems to be going their way. I thought they were making playoffs.
Marcus Stroman has head first slide across home plate right in the 10th inning. Gets the one run. Mayberry scores. It goes to 8-6 because they gave the game away in the 8th, and here are the gods giving it back. Here's the one thing I'd say, and maybe it's for October. Maybe it's for late October and the post-analysis of it because we're going to want to talk the other playoff series too. But that said, I don't think they won any more fluky games than they lost. I don't look at them. I think they had some games where you go, how on earth did they win that? Just as many as how on earth did they lose that? I think they're going to end up probably where they were supposed to be. Probably
I would,
an 80.
I would disagree with that because the bullpen has been really shaky for a lot of the year. The ERA is a whole run higher than Baltimore. And that means you lose games that you have a lead in the sixth or seventh inning on.
Maybe you're right. Because in late April, we'd get together in the morning and we'd talk about how on earth are they 8 walks in one inning, that kind of stuff. Sergio Santos and Steve Delabar, couldn't hit a boat falling out of water with their pitches by that point in time. And you don't think about those losses on April 22nd. They don't, and they blew up. Remember they were about to sweep at Jacobs Field, and they blew that game on the Sunday afternoon.
Aaron
Same
Luke.
Kind
of
thing. Yeah.
10 after 6, Brady and Walker, let's get you to your Thursday morning six pack.
This is your Thursday morning six pack. Six things you need to start your day.
All right, number 6, news on Rob Ford yesterday. You don't have to like the man. You don't have to like his politics, but now he's in a different kind of fight as this news broke yesterday.
I found this very compelling television. City TV has the 5, so their newscast, and they went early. And then the doctor, Zane Cohen, who's a colorectal surgeon, who's in charge of the mayor's medical team, came out and announced Mayor Rob Ford has a malignant liposarcoma. It's a bit, as he described it, very rare, very difficult tumor. They're going to start aggressive chemotherapy 3 days on and about a couple weeks off after that. But one other doctor deemed him as having a 50-50 chance to survive this. So we'll see. Now, the great controversy, I think, Andrew, is the idea that he's going to be in the city council race in his old seat in Ward 2, and you're going,
just call it a day.
What? Yes. Please. Yes, please.
Please.
If you ever, and there's great debate. I've heard people say two things. One is, get better. It's just politics. And I've also heard it's a bad thing happening to a bad person. And I understand that thing also. But he is married still. He does have children still. You want him to be healthy, and you want him not to exhaust himself with any kind of political campaign over the next couple months.
Yeah, get well soon, Mayor Ford. It's really all you can say. Number 5, Marcus Stroman suspended 6 games yesterday by Major League Baseball, or one start, as it happens, for allegedly intentionally throwing at Caleb Joseph on Monday.
Do you find it odd he's protesting the suspension, or
he's
appealing? Everybody
appeals.
Does,
yeah.
But then you got to rejig the rotation. He's still going to start on Sunday potentially, but then again, he's going right to New York. He gets a hearing. Actually, either they're going to have it either this afternoon or tomorrow afternoon. So we'll see. I understand he's from New York, from Long Island, wants to pitch there, and then he's probably going to miss the start against Seattle or Baltimore late next week in the season. So we're probably only seeing one more start from him.
And now, for what it's worth, he maintains he didn't mean to do it. Sure didn't look that way, but maybe he wants to be heard by Major League Baseball for his own reputation's sake. I don't know. I don't care. Number 4, the latest black eye for the NFL. In a sense, I don't know, is it a football thing or is it just an idiot thing? Jonathan Dwyer, after incidents this summer, has been arrested on charges of aggravated assault when it comes to domestic violence.
It sounds pretty awful. There's an 18-month-old involved, so there's an assault of a minor. There's preventing an emergency phone call, which I'd assume would be his girlfriend. It's almost the ugliest incident detail-wise out of every ugly incident we've heard about the NFL. Like, you're wondering what's next. You really are.
And we've gotten to a point where the news comes down and boom, he's banned from team activities until everything gets sorted out.
And that's the way
it should be, and that's the way it now is in the NFL.
No one reacted faster than the Cardinals. That said, people are now questioning when the Cardinals learned of these allegations. The woman has left the state. She's taken the child, so they are not living together. This isn't a Ray Rice thing for the moment where they're playing happy family, and you're thinking, well, are they? The woman and child are gone, but they were assaulted, allegedly.
NFL Thursday Nighter, by the way, is tonight. Tampa is on the road in Atlanta. Catch it on Sportsnet Ontario. Number three, as mentioned, Jays do get swept in Baltimore. 6-1 was the final last night. They're at Yankee Stadium tonight. R.A. Dickey, who's been really, really good, takes on Shane Green tonight. Number two, the L.A. Angels clinch the AL West. They have the best record in baseball.
Yeah, it's an amazing run for them. So it kind of shapes up. We expect the Angels, I think, to get the wild card winner. And almost, you can almost lock it in, right? An ALDS between Baltimore and Detroit, and the Orioles would get home advantage and get the first two games at home. Kind of fascinating. We all think Detroit's got the better pitching. We all do. But Baltimore, with the lineup, can they scrape enough together? Detroit's having a real struggle winning ball games right now, and their bullpen with Joe Nathan doesn't look any better than last year with all the problems in the past with Jose Valverde 2 years ago and Al Albuquerque last year. They've got a lot of problem closing down games.
And the number one thing you need to know on your Thursday, we are 20 days away from the drop of the puck. Leafs camp opens up today. Yes, it's here. They released their 64-man camp roster yesterday. Fitness testing today. The first on-ice session goes tomorrow, and we will delve into it a little bit more at 6:22. Dave Festchuk had a column yesterday. Phil Kessel basically being called out as a coach killer. And yes, camp hasn't even started yet. It's Brady and Walker.
Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
6:22. Good morning, Brady and Walker, on your Thursday. Don't go anywhere because Cup-winning head coach Dan Bylsma, who, let's be honest, not going to be out of work very long, is going to break his silence with us in just a couple of minutes. He will join us this morning.
I could use a break. I've been back a couple of weeks. Bylsma and Walker. How about that? Sure. I mean, does he want work? Does he want to work or does he not want to work? I guess he's getting some degree of payment from
Getting paid, I believe.
Yeah, he wasn't a lame duck coach.
Leafs camp begins today, and already people are blowing up players. Dave Festchuk is a column right now.
Well, does he do it? Is this a column critical of Phil Kessel, or is this an anecdotal tale of the genesis of it is Steve Spott, the assistant coach, and we've had him on the show, and there's a lot to like about Steve Spott, Spotter, as he's known in the hockey world. And he's attending a coach's clinic. He was a guest speaker last month at a coaching clinic. And three minor hockey coaches have provided anecdotes to Toronto Star columnist Dave Festchuk.
Minor hockey coaches. Okay, continue. All right.
And simply put, they have some tales. Now, I don't think they're tall tales of things Steve Spott was saying. Now, the quotes are tough, aren't they? Radio's even tough. People can't see the expression on our faces when we say something. So I always get the, I don't know if you get it a lot, the, hey, I can't tell when that guy's serious and when he's kidding. Maybe Steve Spott is that guy at this coaching clinic because Spott spoke of Kessel allegedly hating coaches. He had a quote, Phil hates coaches. He hates Randy. He hates me and I don't even know him yet. Now, if he's giggling one of the seven dwarfs,
which I'm sure he was, let's be honest.
Maybe so.
Steve Spott hasn't been on the bench for an NHL game once yet in his career. He's not going to speak at a conference to blow up his players with fire and brimstone.
So to read from the column, and we'll take a lot of reaction to this morning. Spott was complimentary of Kessel, telling his audience the winger's one of the smartest hockey minds he's worked with. Spott also marveled at how Kessel, who Spott estimated during the lecture is, quote, 15 pounds overweight, remains an explosive speedster. And I'm not going to debate the 15-pound comment, but there's things you say and things you may not say. And I don't think you even go there as a joke and talk about a player's fitness level you haven't coached yet. I'd be curious to know if if Steve Spott will corroborate that quote later today.
I'm giving Spott every benefit of every doubt.
Well,
here.
You said, Andrew, you say that or don't say it, but I don't think you say it. He either said it or he didn't.
What happens if I go to somebody to discuss my co-host Greg? Well, you know, and Greg's 10 pounds overweight, but he's still a good coach. Are you offended and go? Of course
no,
not.
No, my weight doesn't necessarily affect my job. My IQ might, or lack thereof, but my weight's not affecting my gig.
Way more reaction on this. It is a good story. It is a good debate. But first, Dan Bylsma is going to join us on Brady and Walker.
Yeah, lots to talk about with him. Dan Bylsma had an interview with the Vancouver Canucks, an interview with the Florida Panthers in the offseason. But right now, I guess we'd consider the hottest free agent coach out there, and he gets up early to join us. We thank you for doing this. I know you haven't talked that much publicly since the summer. Is it still, do you have a better understanding as weeks and months have gone by as to what transpired and why you're not the coach in Pittsburgh anymore? Because for a while, we thought you still would be.
No, I think, our expectation in Pittsburgh is extremely high. And you know, we won a lot of hockey games in 5.5 years. But we were on the expected to and looking at winning another Stanley Cup, and that didn't happen. And you know, that expectation and that standard has been there for a couple years, and you know, we came up short again this year and losing the second round and losing in game 7 to the Rangers. So it wasn't an unexpected really outcome after the results we got.
It's a difficult thing when you go into a team that has guys like Crosby and Malkin, and the expectations are you got to go deep, you got to win. It's different. It's different for, say, Mike Johnson now in Pittsburgh with the first year head coach than it is for, I don't know, Dallas Eakins in Edmonton. Can you speak to that pressure that you feel year in, year out?
Yeah, I don't think it really equates to pressure or the word we use for pressure. The expectations are extremely high, and Billy, we welcome those and welcome as a team, and you know, it's tough to win the Stanley Cup. It's not something that's given out. It's not even something that's guaranteed for any team going into this season. It's the hardest trophy to win. It's the hardest championship to win, and you know, even you go back to the LA Kings year they won it the first time when they sneak in as the 8th seed and peel off, I think, 12 games or 10 games in a row. Any team can win. Our expectation was there, but we didn't come up with that, and we didn't win it when we think we had a very good chance to win it in Pittsburgh.
It's an amazing thing. I don't know how introspective you get about your profession, but I mentioned that, like, we look in other sports, you follow other sports, and Bill Belichick, can't coach in Cleveland. He's on thin ice in New England. Then Tom Brady starts winning football games, and Scotty Bowman, right, couldn't win in Buffalo. Amazing what happens when you get to Pittsburgh and Detroit. Do you? I mean, it's what you signed up for. You know what it's about, but it's just that incredible fine line. Joe Torre was fired twice before he's the Yankees manager. Now he's in the Hall of Fame just for managing. It's incredible.
It is incredible when you look at it that way. And I wouldn't try to make sense of it. Sometimes we do before and after about those situations. But, you know, I think there are certain circumstances. We look around our league even, and you look at the amazing job Claude Julien's done in Boston and having won a championship. And he was and has been, and at least if you listen to some people, I've been on thin ice at times, and he's done an amazing job. A job there, so it does appear and can be a little bit fickle, but I think you know that getting into the deal and the situation, and I don't turn or shy away from any of that.
Dan Bylsma, guest on Brady and Walker. So in the cool light of day, with reflection, with your family, you had time to let this marinate and let this list breathe a little bit. And other teams ended up changing coaches without naming names. Was there an opportunity that you even, you know, remotely considered getting back in the game this fall? Or did you look at it and say, I want it to be exactly what I want, where I want, when I want, and I'm going to wait this out a little bit?
Well, I think I had that opportunity and am in that situation where, you know, I'm certainly looking for an opportunity and definitely want to get back in the saddle and be a coach again. But I think the opportunities that I did have weren't right for me, weren't right for my family, and you know, so now I'm kind of I've got a couple homework things to do as the season starts, and I'll be preparing and getting better at what I do in the meantime, and looking for that next opportunity made down the road.
Do you feel you're in a hurry? You know how it goes. You don't wish ill will on guys in your profession, but you know, a month into the season, there's generally at least a few openings. Are you ready to jump at something if it comes?
I think I'm not in a hurry. I'm not checking off teams and lists and what have you now right now. But I'm definitely. Will be ready and am going to be ready when the opportunity comes, and if it comes, and that may be, you know, that may be a whole year from now. I don't know what that's going to be.
So you coached Sidney Crosby for in half a decade. When you look back on your time with him, Dan, what's most misunderstood about him? There's many people that speculate, and some have better access than others about what he is with his teammates, what he is as a leader, vocal, leads by example. What do you look at? You hear something, you go, well, that's just not true about Sidney Crosby.
Well, he's I think we all, you know, there's lots of talk about leadership and different aspects of it. There's no question about the leadership of Sidney Crosby and what he brings every day to his team and to his teammates. There's the hardest working guy, always working and looking to get better, and doing that in the context of his team, and he's brought that every day that I was a part of coaching him and coaching the Pittsburgh Penguins, and some of the side talk, it's just what it is. It's side talk. He was a great leader, is a great leader to his teammates and to his team, and it's shown every day.
Before you go, and we appreciate the time, this must be so unique for you because you were able to dive right into coaching. That means that when the playing career ended, you were focused, you were driven, and other people believed in you. This must be so unique. I mean, this is the first time in your life since you've been in hockey that you sit, and like we said, it may not last terribly long. We think you're going to be a pretty hot commodity. How does it feel sort of not having a rink to go to? There must be some element of... Yeah, like you said, you can get more stuff done, plain and simple. Spend more time with your family.
Yeah, a little bit of that. I think, the summertime was pretty normal around the Viles, my house, as September approached. And now we're getting real close to see training camp start to open. And it's going to be a little bit odd. Once the season starts, I'm gonna kind of be in my own element. I'm going to have some things I'm going to be watching about the games and looking at some of the numbers, the statistics and analytics about the game as the season gets going, almost in my own little coaching world and getting prepared for what opportunity does come my way when it does.
You might figure out who the good teams are before we do. So will you call us 10 games in and tell us? That helps our job also. That's really, we want to sound a little bit smarter. We can always use the help.
With the Stanley Cup Finals, I commented before I went on the air, I finally now can be a smart hockey person.
Yeah, it takes time. It takes a little bit of time. Hey, we appreciate you coming on. Again, a lot of support in our quarter, and we are excited to see you behind the bench again. But also, it's life is life, and we're excited you got this time right now. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right. Thank you, guys.
There's Dan Bylsma, who will be back in at work, I would think, very very soon. This isn't going to be a year or two of absence where he's doing media panels and wondering, you know, where to go. Dan Bylsma is going to get a job offer within a month.
He's in the prime of his career. He'll hop right back in very soon. Now, Vancouver's right there. Florida's right there. We don't know if jobs were offered, but we do know that he went and chatted. I don't know if you remember, a guy found him at the airport and took a picture with Dan Bylsma at the Vancouver airport. I mean, what are you going to do, run away from a pitcher? It's not the paparazzi. It's Fred the Canucks fan. He wants to take a picture with you.
Yeah, more details coming up as Jonathan Dwyer is the latest NFLer to be arrested in connection with domestic violence. He is out when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals.
Also coming up before Best and Worst at 6:42, we've all been next to that guy or girl at a ball game. here's something where we do wonder, did a man's civil liberties get violated by getting tossed out of an MLB game a couple nights ago? We'll tell you what the guy said with some variation and tell you what happened after that.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker. Only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning, 6:43 on your Thursday. Brady and Walker. I'm Andrew Walker. He's Greg Brady. Don't forget, NFL Thursday Night is going to be on Sportsnet Ontario tonight. The Jays game moves to Sportsnet 1 and 360. It's Atlanta and Tampa tonight. The Buccaneers, a lot of people's kind of under-the-radar sexy playoff pick. They're looking to avoid going to 0-3, which would be a disastrous start for Tampa Bay.
Well, with Lovie Smith, there was a lot of promise in Josh. But isn't there a reason Josh McCown, everyone loved him for about 5 weeks last year. Can't any quarterback almost get hot for about 5 weeks? And you go, remember the debate was, hey, should the Bears stick with McCown or Cutler's healthy? Yeah. And then you watch what Cutler does last week and you go, you play Cutler. Of course you play Cutler. But Josh McCown's been a career backup for a long time for very good reasons. So we'll see where Tampa goes with it tonight. So we saw this before, best and worst. Saw this story, a fan was ejected from a game. I don't see that many fans ejected from games, but if it happens, it's generally fighting,
yeah,
right? Or they spilled a beer on somebody. Or they're
reaching for a foul ball. And this is the public one. Reaching for a foul ball, go on the field, right?
Yeah. That's although that nerd that interfered with Bautista the other day, that poor kid in the right down the right field line. Bautista had two major issues with fans interfering down the right field line. I thought Bautista was great because he didn't get mad at the kid. He didn't go Moises Alou on Bardman.
Don't call him a nerd. What's wrong with you? Anyway,
sorry. He was sitting. Well, he brought a glove. Apparently, that's an issue for you.
But this guy was booted though for excessive swearing or just swearing.
He's apparently you can hear this quote on the telecast. This is the Braves. This is the Braves Nationals, and Bryce Harper is a visiting player. So this is in Atlanta, and you could clearly hear on the broadcast. I played the tape. We didn't edit it, but it was. You blanking suck, you piece of blank. And
hey, Hopper.
Now, apparently,
you suck.
Very similar to that. The guy was at it all night long. Like, it's one thing. If you don't like a call and you scream and you don't like Don Van Massenhoven giving Joffrey Lupul a hooking call or you don't like a call at second base and Jose Reyes is thrown out, I understand. And you often hear the BS chant get going. That's been around for 40 years.
And you know what? Heckling is okay, too.
But if a guy's doing an Andrew Dice Clay routine for seven innings, I understand somebody going and saying enough's enough. Now, the interesting part is, on this sports law blog, a lawyer who runs this does note that this is a publicly owned and operated ballpark. And the umpire asks that this fan be ejected, and he thinks he did it illegally. Like, he writes, I hope a lawsuit is coming because you can't throw a fan out for profanity. And I guess I've never seen a fan thrown out for profanity. It'd have to be public drunkenness mixed with belligerence mixed with profanity.
That's real interesting. I think it's, there is a slippery slope here because if we were at the Rogers Center and there's 15,000 there for a game against Tampa and we're sitting there, we're trying to watch the game, and some guy is just cursing, and there's kids around. It's very uncomfortable. Yet if you and I are sitting third baseline Yankee Stadium for Yankees Red Sox, and some guy's, you know, hey, Buchholz, run a comb through your hair, you greasy. Right? If we hear, we think it's great.
How'd you do that?
We think it's great.
How did you do that?
I don't know.
Believe
don't,
your own
don't
words
ask.
There? Okay, good. Yeah, I agree. Especially a neutral site person, if you go to an amazing event, and I'll tell you, English soccer games, you hear the female C word.
Oh, yeah.
They love it over there. It's a cottage industry.
They're
they
getting
love that
thrown
word.
Out for swearing.
But they're not. Exactly. Never in a million trillion years. Like, I've been there with my best friend's seven-year-olds there, and you are hearing... It's like an anatomy exam by a rude doctor. You're hearing words you couldn't even find them on a biology chart. You're
hey, Rod,
words.
Stick another needle in your arm, you
not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad either.
So I see I, that. See, that's funny. But not if you're in a row of, you know, Carmen J. Werther High School or junior high school out for a field trip.
Although they may be using the dirty words. You ever been on?
See, that's funny. Kids swearing is funny.
Kids swearing is funny. Our text line's 590-590. I'd love to hear from people on Brady and Walker this morning who think someone should be thrown out for excessive swearing.
Where's the line, though, right?
Yeah, what's fair game for screaming and yelling at a ballpark? We've all been near the belligerent drunks. Sometimes we move seats, sometimes we don't. We all know there are people that won't go to NFL games. Won't go to NFL games because just people are too tanked up and they can't control what they're saying and what they're doing.
I don't know. I don't know people who don't go to sporting events because of swearing. I mean, that's not, it's, but we've all been in the situation where, man, I wish these guys would shut up behind me or in front of me. Sure. Yeah. Sure we have. Should they get a talking to? They shouldn't be hauled out and arrested. I don't know. I don't know.
Then you can get a resisting arrest charge also.
648
charges involved.
At Brady and Walker's our Twitter handle. Give us your thoughts on this. Also, 590-590 is the text line. Let's do best and worst.
Best John Lennon
and worst
John Gibbons
with Brady and Walker.
Outrageous.
I'll tell you who's the worst. It's you, Brady. You suck. You.
What I think.
Those are the emails I get
from management, really, more than listeners.
Thanks, Mr. Moore. It is best win, worst loss, best player, worst player
from
last night. I'll take best player. This is totally off my radar, and I was really happy to see the numbers last night. Canadian Justin Morneau, good Canadian boy, one step closer to claiming the National League batting title. Can you believe it? Yeah, he's playing in Colorado. But the Rockies first baseman was 3-for-4 last night with 6 RBI as Colorado hammers the Dodgers 16-2. So he's hitting .320. Pittsburgh's Josh Harrison is next, batting .318. That would be unbelievable for Justin Morneau to capture a hitting title this season.
Incredible. You know, he was sort of it was like a nice gesture that he was, you know, in the All-Star game.
He lost the final vote and did not make the team.
He was
in the home run derby in Minnesota, yes.
Yeah. All right, so worst player, David Price got kind of lit up in Minnesota last night. In Minneapolis, 8-5, the Tigers lose to Minnesota, and Price gives up 5 earned runs.
Oh, Price, you in suck, you left-handed
in 5 2/3. So you are Brad Ausmus, because I can't manage the Tigers. You know that.
I'd rather be Jim Leland, but continue.
Sure. How do you set your rotation when you got Price, Scherzer, Porcello's got the lowest ERA on the team, and Justin Verlander? Who do you want against Chris Tillman in the first game? Who do you want to go twice?
That's enough Tiger talk. Worst loss, Oakland was up 1-0 Rangers and gives up 6 runs in the ninth, including a 3-run bomb to J.Pierre and CBS. So don't look now, but Kansas City and Oakland are tied for both those wild card spots. Seattle is 2 games back. Oakland might miss. They might miss John Lester on that team.
Now that reality is set in for you, and most of us, Oakland, Kansas City, Seattle, out of those teams, who do you want to miss? Some people in Toronto want the Royals to miss so they keep the longest playoff drought. Yeah. And yet some Royals people think they're a nice story. It'd be nice for their fans. We want that here.
Royals are a nice story. And if the Jays were playing in the Central over the years, the playoff drought would not be at 20 years. Let's be honest there. I would like to see Oakland miss, but I also hate Seattle.
Yeah.
I really hate Seattle. So I'll view it as a win-win.
I thought it was just Seahawks fans, but apparently it's the entire Pacific Northwest.
Well, they're the same people. They go across the street after the Mariners game to the NFL game. So.
I know every MLS game, you always tell me how much you want the Seattle Sounders to lose those three-pointers. Best win, let's throw it at the Pirates. 10-2 in their last 12 games. Pittsburgh looks safe for a playoff spot, and that was not the case about a week and a half ago. Get a lot of big hits from a lot of guys. Clint Barmy's had a good game. Starling Marte. Andrew McCutchen went 2-for-3 with an RBI. And a good pitching outing from Francisco Liriano, who, as you noted, he was kind of having the Ubaldo Jimenez season in April and May, and he's navigated his way back to a 3.45 ERA, a reliable starter. They don't have A.J. Burnett to go in the playoffs this year. So Francisco Liriano's that one guy that's got that that playoff experience from his Minnesota days.
I'm going to be heckling Jimenez that last week. In 4 years, Jimenez! 4 years, $50 million, you
Will you try and get thrown out? Just try. You're not going to have a fine. Only you can get back in. You have a press pass. You have a media pass.
If I get thrown out, would it make the paper? Like, if there's a picture of me in cuffs, would that make the paper? Is that good or bad for five?
Is that good pub for the show? It depends what you get arrested. I would like you to get arrested. It's just a question of what for.
There is no such thing as bad publicity.
We're gonna go with that. It's a big day. You care probably less about this than I may. But Scotland has a historic independence vote, the results of which will begin to be released publicly around 5 p.m. Eastern time today, evening time in Scotland.
Well, you, for some reason, are very emotionally invested in everything that happens outside of this country.
It's a pretty historic referendum. And we have a lot of us. There's a lot of people that would have Scottish heritage. I don't have any.
I do.
Do you really have some Scottish in you?
My grandpa's from Dundee. But
so they may want to go their own way, as it were. The Scottish National Party leader. So the yes vote would mean we've got some economic risk, but we declare independence. It's basically what Quebec wanted to do here for those years,
and that didn't fly. But now it's kind of gone quiet. And no one's separating now.
And
Alberta might separate.
There are English people, because a lot of people in sports even get this wrong. It's like Andy Murray from England, and you're going, no. He's from Great Britain, and he's from Scotland, and he doesn't live in Scotland anymore. But I have an interest in this. I don't want Scotland to leave. Scotland's a big part of. They actually are sort of the. I'd say they're like the wet dog of Great Britain. Really,
what does that?
They're
mean?
Kind of the beaten down. Ewan McGregor explains this very well in the movie Trainspotting.
Oh, let's take a listen. Hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so.
But the lowest of the low, the scum of the f***ing earth, the most wretched, miserable, servile, pathetic trash that was ever sh*t into civilization. Some people hate the English, I don't. They're just wankers. We, on the other hand, are colonized by wankers. Can't even find a decent culture to be colonized by. We're ruled by a fiat a*t. It's a sh*t state of affairs to be in, Tommy, and all the fresh air in the world won't make any f***ing difference.
That's a good swearing campaign segment. You'd get thrown out of a major league game if you had that rant about the Scottish.
Could you be thrown out for saying wankers? We'll try that out on Friday.
Listen, you walk up and down Bloor Street today and see how many people are dressed in kilts carrying bagpipes, and then you'll know what an important day it is.
That's true. I will look for that. 6:54, Brady and Walker. Jays get swept, and Marcus Stroman gets suspended. It wasn't long enough, according to Greg Brady. He will tell you why in a second.